Good morning, everybody. I'm sensing just as we've been doing what we're doing in terms of leading the church, that God is really taking us on a journey. And just going to a relating pastor's time now in Maritzburg this last week, is that the path that we take going forward is not going to look exactly the same as the path that we've always taken before. And that's not a bad thing, but it can be challenging and uncomfortable. But God is very much in control. He's sovereign. He's leading us as a church. We are faithful to Him. We are submitted to Him, and He'll take us exactly where He wants us to go, and we will obediently follow Him everywhere He's leading us. So I just want to encourage you. As a church, we are in good hands because we're in the hands of God. So this morning, I'm carrying on with a series that I started last week. And someone said maybe it's just like a long preach divided into two, whatever it may be, called Uncomfortable. And that is exactly what it is. As preachers, we always get tested on what we're preaching on. And today is week two of this uncomfortable thing. And on the way here, Paula said, I can't wait for this series to be finished. Because when you preach on being uncomfortable and then we are uncomfortable, it's very challenging. And it just so happened that in all the years that I've led a church, we've had moments where electricity is dipped and all that, but it's never done what it did last week. So it's 6 years of leading the church plus the 2 years building up to that. We've always had electricity. Then I preach the very morning that I preach on being uncomfortable. We have no electricity, no air cons, no lyrics, no slides, no sound, no speakers. Talk about being uncomfortable. You know, it was very uncomfortable. And what are the odds that it happens on the morning that I'm preaching on being uncomfortable? I mean, you think it would happen on any other morning, but it happens on that one. The irony is that God is using whatever circumstances to bring about practical demonstrations of what we are preaching on. He's very much in control. And I feel that Him making us uncomfortable last week was absolutely part of His plan. It's a good thing. And then this morning we get you on the iPad that we've used since the beginning of planting the church didn't work. And it's always worked. I mean, it's had issues. And then Shana was very uncomfortable. She phoned us. So because we always get tested in what we preach on, I have been joking for years, but I'm more tempted now than ever to preach on long holidays in luxury locations. And may I be tested oh so severely. Last week, I started preaching on the 7 manifestations of comfort that are sneaking into the church. And these are dangerous things. These are comforts that are sneaking into the church that I said last week are becoming socially acceptable. They're things that we haven't even noticed anymore. They're sneaky and they are dangerous. And because we live in a church culture right now that choose comfort over cost. And I'm not trying to throw stones at anybody. Believe me, this is as much a challenge to me as it is to anyone. We choose comfort over cost, the cost of serving Christ. We choose compromise over conviction. And I think we all know, you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, Lord, where do I stand with you? And hence the phrase consumer Christianity. And we as a church, we want to be living in an extension to the book of Acts, where the power of God is on display all the time, where we're seeing God move. And for anyone that was at the prayer meeting this last week, as Martin called it, a foretaste of what God is going to do. Isaac and Eleanor were just incredibly, it was one of those meetings where the presence of God is so heavy on people that other people that are not even getting prayed for are feeling the effect of what God is doing. It was an absolutely beautiful foretaste of what's to come. And we will never be weird. Our goal is not to be a weird church, but we are absolutely open to the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, because how else are we going to live this Christian life? So we often don't want, we think as Christians, this is where the problem is. We want the power of God, but what's stopping us from experiencing the power of God? And I believe it's because we're putting comfort before conviction, where we're living this life where we think this, Lord, I want to use you instead of saying, Lord, I want you to use me. So are we living Christian lives? And I know people said last week, Tim, stop apologizing. And this is a challenge for us to go through this. But are we saying, Lord, use my life? Or, Lord, I want you to serve my life. Right? Are you allowing God to absolutely use you? And if you do that and say, Lord, use me for whatever you want, let me tell you, it will be uncomfortable. Because God's plans and your plans are not going to line up perfectly. And I believe truly that the church is being called back to costly Christianity. And that isn't easy. That isn't comfortable. And it's nice to preach messages that tickle people's ears. And we had a prophetic word this morning from Louise that was absolutely on spot. She said, the picture was, what were they? Peacock feathers. And that the word that was peacock feathers tickling the ears. And then what happens is God takes them all, puts them in a fire, and then out of that fire burns it, comes the word of God. And then we break the word of God and we feast on that. We eat from the word of God. But we are not here to tickle ears as preachers. We want to be equipped to be the Christians that God has called us to be. And we will be. Going forward, there's going to be some radical change. Remember that song, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment that I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. But in fine print, as long as it suits me, makes me happy and isn't uncomfortable. Right? That's the way we treat it. And this is an incredibly challenging message. So just a short recap of last week's message. I had 3 points on the 7 manifestations of comfort. 3, and then I'm going to go through the other 4 this morning. And they're quite quick, so it's probably going to be a shorter message than normal. Good response. If someone had gone, whoa, and then I'd be like, there's the door. Anyway, no, I'm just joking. Make you uncomfortable. So, recap, last week's 3. Number 1, the comfort of being served rather than serving. I encourage you, come with a heart to say, Lord, use me. I'm going to go to church. How can I be used to serve the others? Number 2, the comfort of being liked by the world. We try and make our lives and our message so palatable and so encouraging, so non-offensive. But let me tell you, the message of the cross is offensive. It has always been and it will always be. And we can't try and trim it down to make it something easy to receive. It is offensive to everything that we know. Number 3 is the comfort of being anonymous. We love that. We want to sneak in, sneak out, and be anonymous. But we don't have that luxury afforded to us in Scripture. So today I'm going through the next 4 manifestations of comfort. And it starts with this one, number 4, if you're taking notes. The comfort of just staying at home. And you know the churches in Toti if you've been here around. Do you know the biggest church in Imams and Toti? Let me tell you. The biggest church in Imams and Toti is the church that stay at home. That don't gather on a Sunday. That's the biggest church in Imams and Toti. And I remember the first time I heard this, I was living in Hillcrest, and I think Peter Rass was preaching in about 2008. He said the biggest church in Hillcrest are the church that stay at home. That was 2008. And he probably got it from a book that he read that was 20 years before that. And I got these manifestations from a book that was written in 2017. So this principle isn't taking a dig at people that are staying home because of COVID. This manifestation of comfort has been around for decades. It's just COVID has given it a license. Right? Now, why aren't I staying at home? And this is something that has been creeping into the church that's destructive and unhelpful. And I realize I'm probably preaching to the choir. And on this point, some people will be like, you know, if I don't go to church, nobody is going to even notice. No one is going to miss me. And I want to say this, that you have no idea what the Holy Spirit can do through you if you just make yourself available. It's God we're talking about. He can take the fish and loaves and he can multiply it. He can take what little you have and he can multiply it to be a blessing to somebody else in the room. And I say this, half the battle is won just by showing up. How often is there a massive wrestle and all you do is you just show up and then God does the rest? I encourage you, church, just show up. I tell often our upcoming leaders, half the battle is won when you're just present. Make yourself visible and God will use you. So, gatherings like these are the cat's eyes to our spiritual journey. And we know this, that when life happens, we don't by default gravitate towards each other. We don't pull together. By default, we pull apart. And life is happening. And we need to be very intentional about and purposeful about our gatherings. There is a challenge for us to endure the discomfort of regularly gathering together. And I know it can be uncomfortable. And by the way, I'm saying this like, come on guys, you need to come to church and get and value the gathering. But I'm all for breaks and I'm all for holidays. You know, so I'm not saying like this religious rule where if you miss church, you're in trouble. Absolutely not. You are free. And I encourage you. I remember, I haven't put this in here, but I was in Hillcrest and I was a part of a church that wasn't, how can I say this? This was before Hillcrest. It wasn't healthy. And if you miss church, you kind of You know, they told you you missed church and they pointed it out and you were made to feel like the heaviness and the guilt. And I remember like, you want to be this good Christian and, you know, and then you feel the religious rules of having to be at church every week. And I never want that for us. And then I went to City Hill Hillcrest. And I remember the one day Karen Rasmussen came to me and she said, "Tim, I've seen you being at church every single week since you joined our church." And I'm thinking, you know, look at me. And she says, "That's not healthy." She said, "Why don't you take a holiday? Take a break. So if next week we empty, I'm going to blame myself." So maybe I shouldn't be pushing that hard. But the point is this. It's not about religious rules that we come together. It's about the value of relationships. We should love to be together. And sometimes it's very uncomfortable, but we don't know what God will do with us when we are intentional about gathering. And not only that, but we are formed habitually. All of us are just the creatures of the habits that we've formed. Craig Rochelle says this, successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. And here's a scripture that we've read probably for 5 weeks in a row, and we'll read it again. And I never want us to get to a place where we're like, "Oh, no, I know the scripture," or you just keep hammering that. Let's trust God until it's absolutely rooted in our DNA, then we'll keep trusting God for it. Hebrews 10, verse 25. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. Especially now. I'm telling you, church, right now, 2020, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. Because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. There is somebody in this room that will be very encouraged by what you have to bring. And there are certain people that are in this room that I tell you now, I've never gone specifically and told you, "Hey, look, you being there makes me, it's very encouraging to me." But you have no idea what God is using you to do to the people around you that you don't see. But don't for a minute think that it's not valuable. And seeing that, just I'm preaching on being uncomfortable and encouraging each other. If you feel uncomfortable to go and encourage somebody, you're welcome to practice on me. It's a pleasure. Number two, the next manifestation, number five, sorry. The next manifestation of comfort is the comfort of the novel or new. Now, I don't want to just brush over these and you're like, "Oh, no, that's cool." You know, it's like when a woman has a closet full of clothes and she says, "I've got nothing to wear." What she means is, what's that? Is that quite personal? What she means is, "I've got nothing new." Right? That's what she's saying. "I've got nothing to wear. I've got nothing new." How many people have Netflix and they say, "I've got nothing to watch"? You know, we've got this massive array. And today's culture, memes, I don't know if you know what a meme is. The younger generation will know what a meme is. You guys coming alive right over there. A meme has a lifespan of about 24 hours. Right? Am I right? It's funny today and it's old tomorrow. News. Oh, it's big news today. Tomorrow it's old news. Things, people, this, we live in a culture that constantly wants something new and fresh and exciting. Brett McCracken says this, and Stewie's not in a message, so I can say it a bit more freely. He says that Americans have, they're very entrepreneurial, the Americans, and he's an American that wrote this book. They love to start new things, yet they're not that great at enduring faithfully. While the British are incredibly enduring, yet not as enthusiastic about starting new things. I think that we as South Africans are really good at both. I think that we are pioneers, and I think that we've got grit to persevere. I think that we're good. But the point is, for us as Christians, growth takes place through faithful endurance. And we live in a culture that says, you know, you need something new all the time. And people are hopping around, waiting, chasing after a new experience. Yet they will mature when they find that they faithfully endure to what God has called them to. Eugene Peterson calls it the long obedience in the same direction. And by the way, sometimes you might think, "Oh, boring, same old, same old." Long obedience in the same direction. That's when we grow. It's the long haul of the Christian life is very uncomfortable. And today's culture, we want fresh and new and exciting and novel. Because when we don't have that, we are uncomfortable. And we don't want to be uncomfortable. You know, we want new things. Because the old thing, not because the old thing isn't working, but because there's a new thing. I mean, look at our phones. The old phone works fine. But the new phone's the new phone. So we want the new phone because it's the new phone. And this chasing after the new is often manifest. This is a big thing. It's manifest in our relationships and in our jobs and in our commitment. Bouncing, 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 bouncing. Because today's culture says it has to be fresh, it has to be new. And of course, as a church, we want to be excited and have energy and vision and passion for new things, but not at the expense of faithfully enduring to the things that God has called us to. Our message will never change, but our method may. So starting things is fun. Starting things is fun. Sticking with them, not so much. And right now my family want a bunny. a new bunny. Oh, look at it. It's so sweet. Until like 6 months. You clean it. Stupid bunny's in the way. You know, like, can you imagine anyone that's bought their kids a pet? Oh, the novelty. It's exciting. I will clean it every single day. Until day like three. And then it's like, it's getting big now. It's ugly. So Galatians 6 verse 9 to 10. And let us not grow weary for doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And I really feel God saying that to some people here that are married. So word to your marriage. Let us not go weary in doing good, for in the due season you will reap if you do not give up. So then, we have opportunity. Let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Think of ways to bless each other. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Church, keep on keeping on. There is great strength that will come from your consistently gathering together. Keep the cat's eyes visible, because as you do, you will be safe from going into the bushes. We need to be enduring faithfully, because it's in that faithful endurance that God will work. And believe me, I know how tempting it is just to sometimes let life carry us away. We need to contend for this. The next one is this. Number 6, you with me? For the 4 of you that are, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. The comfort of a preferred worship style. That's the next comfort. I want to encourage City Hill Church. You are incredible worshipers. And I know that this was one of the points, and I was thinking about it, reflecting on our church. Our church loved to worship God. And we've had very challenging season where things have worked and haven't worked, and you know, and we still worship God with in spirit and truth. This church loves to worship. Yet when people are consumer Christians, which is what's creeping into society, their ability to connect with God is dependent on their experience and their preferences. So in other words, they'll leave the service saying, "How was worship for me?" But it wasn't for you. And we will hinge it on what was my experience and what were my preferences. Was it my favorite song? Was it my favorite person? Whatever it may be. And some people in the room, they love a concert style. You know, big, loud, you know, like, then they come alive and they feel like they can connect with God. And other people, they like it when it's just hymns and quiet and gentle. And in that quietness, they can connect with God. And we have our different perspectives and styles. And worship ends up hinged on how we felt instead of what we brought to God. We're a church that if it's not your best, not your favorite song, not your style, whatever it is, despite that, we will bring our best. We will worship God in spirit and truth. And these styles, they obviously do play a part. I understand that. I have my preferences. Paula has her preferences. We all have our own preferences. No matter how diverse our experience may be, our heart is always to see Jesus Christ exalted. It's not about, oh, well, it's my style and it's my, you know, like my song, so therefore I connected with God. I'm saying this. Be intentional. Don't think, oh, well, I'll connect with God when I'm comfortable. Connect with God because he's worthy of all praise and glory despite what you're feeling. So we're not going to chase after experiences. For me, I must say, I really do enjoy it all. I love the loud concert feel. I love the quiet thing. But one of the times that I mean, this is personal, and I'm not trying to say like I can only connect with God during this style, is when I'm surrounded by mature worshipers that, what's that? When I'm surrounded by mature, when I've been in the Golden Warriors, and they've just got a guitar and a passion for Jesus, there's something amazing about being with people that just want to see Jesus exalted. So therefore, it's no longer about the style. And in that, I find that it's quiet, but I absolutely connect with God through that space. But at the same time, I've been to the big and loud, and it's awesome too. My challenge is for us to learn to discover God through a variety of styles. Don't just get stuck in your niche, and that's the only way you can connect with God. Let's not let comfort be the gauge to our ability to connect with God. The last one is this. The last manifestation is the comfort of homogeneity. I don't know why. I mean, it's easier to explain than to say. Homogeneity is the quality or state of being all the same or all the same kind. Some people are only comfortable when they're surrounded by the same. And this is the comfort of living in a bubble, right? We live in a bubble, and we put this bubble of comfort around ourselves, and we only let certain people into the bubble because it's only got so much space. And therefore, when I'm uncomfortable, more people in my bubble than I want into my bubble, then I start feeling uncomfortable and I will kick them out. And what makes this so dangerous is it's exactly the opposite to what the gospel calls us to be. Calls us to break the dividing lines and be absolutely inclusive. The gospel does away with dividing lines. And this may be easy to say, but when we have people that are not like us at all, it can be very uncomfortable. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Now, that's not even me, that's scripture. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Galatians 3, verse 26 to 28. For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Children of God, that's your description. And all of you have been united with Christ in baptism, have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We live in a culture that is absolutely radically divided. And the more we get to know people, the more we see how much division is possible. You got rich and poor, black and white, male and female, this political party versus that political party. And then you think to yourself, unless they think like I think, agree with what I agree with, look like me and sound like me, they're going to become very difficult to be around. Therefore, I'm going to close my circle. And the more we think about it, the more we discover what divides us. You know, you'll get to know somebody and you think, man, we both believe the same thing about politics and we both believe the same thing about that. And you know, oh, we just connect on every level. And then be like, oh, what phone do you, I'm Vodacom. Irrelevant. It somehow brings division. Oh, what are you? Oh, no, I'm Xbox. Oh, you PlayStation. You know, oh, I'm Apple. You Android. And then we start to allow stupid things to divide the church. And right now, society is divided on everything. Imagine people looked into the church. And that, by the way, that kind of thing doesn't honor God. Imagine people looked into the church and saw a variety of different people. And they saw them, despite our differences, loving each other, taking communion together. Do we gather and honor God together, united around a common cause of seeing Christ glorified? We will be an incredibly powerful witness. And by the way, I'm not saying we need to force change. I'm saying we need to be open to the gospel's work of saying there's no dividing lines. Right? And I know our church can be like, we can look and say, it's this or this. But our heart is to say, look, all people for the gospel. I want to end with this. There is a call to the church to costly Christianity. That's where we're at. We're not coming here to have our ears tickled. We're not coming here to be entertained. That's my favorite preacher. I love it. That's my worst preacher. I'm not going to enjoy it. That's my favorite song. What we want to do is say this. Lord, if you've called me, set my life apart for your cause, your purpose. I'm not here to use you. You were there to use me, and that's my heart. So what I want to do is I want us to play a song now. And it's an old school song, and it's the song I said in the beginning. I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. And I would like us to make a declaration this morning and say, Lord, despite how uncomfortable it may be, I want to give you my life again. And then let's draw a line in the sand and say, from now on, I will serve forward. God is not there to be used. But if God uses me, what a pleasure, what a privilege. So let's stand together, and then I will get up and I will pray for us, because I'm trusting that we will walk forward in faith.